Okay, we're ready to start. You guys ready? Good evening, everybody. This is it's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're working on our way to The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. This will be the second week that we're on Chapter 9, and I believe we're going to wind up spending a third week on it too. This is a remarkably important and critical transition tool. But let's talk about it for just a minute. In a certain way, a lot of what's talked about in this chapter is material that we've already discussed some years ago when we discussed HBM, the concept of self-observation. And this is very important for each of us, and we're going to get into this point in this class, and it's going to be difficult. We are on a spiral, and that spiral is moving up. So we pass through the same material over and over again, and we ask ourselves, gosh, I've read this book before. Why does it sound so different this time? It sounds different because you're different, because something has occurred different. You have developed more. And because there's more development, there's more of the essential self is available to us, and the techniques of awakening the machine are more available to us. In a sense, then, guess what? More, we can see more. So we're on this a little bit higher up on the spiral, and we're given the same material yet again, but we're given it in the context that we're already beyond the first stages. We're not at the beginning stages. So because you can see more, more therefore is also asked of you. And that's where we are now, and that's the situation. We're getting to a point where we're starting to come close to the line of shifting over to a new paradigm in our lives. That's what we've been working for. We've lived a life most of in sleep. Then we struggled with, well, how do you even think about it? How do you begin to awaken the machine? And then that becomes another tool for us that we can work with. But now it's saying, how do you develop the astral body or the essential self? More is asked of you to take that on, yet you have more capacity now in order to take it on. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So more is asked of you. More is asked of each of us. And that's the challenge in this particular chapter, and that's why we're spending so much time on it. There's so much here. So this week we're going to try to get through the bulk of the chapter, and then at the end I'm going to lay a challenge to us that will come back next week and unfold that challenge, but with a focus in Chapter 9. Okay? I'm not sure if we'll get through all of the material this week, but at the end of the next chapter, the next week, we will get, we'll be in quite a position, and then we'll be more prepared to begin to look at Chapter 10. And then finally, we'll put before us Chapter 11. Okay? These are important next steps. We're preparing for that. It's like we're preparing ourselves for initiation. Do you remember when we were first talking about in the Book of Sacrifices, and we started talking about the nature of sacrifice, and we started talking that in sacrifice, the priests of old, the most important thing was not the act of the sacrifice, let's say, of the goat or whatever it was, but the act of preparing themselves the invocation that they would go through. And that's what we're doing tonight, is that we're taking this small amount of time, this little fragment of time we have together, and we're proposing that we place our full attention in this together, because Jenna, and how many people does it say there are there? So there's a group of 17, there's like 20 of us gathering together yet again. We're gathering together because then we can access that group energy, and that'll become a part of what we're going to discuss tonight. Okay? That's something we can use together to penetrate this material. Now, when we get into this more enhanced state, is Piancho on? Yeah. He has this with his group too, is that when we get into this state, we actually are in an elevated sense of understanding. When we're in this state, we can understand things that we can't understand, let's say, in our normal everyday life. But here's an interesting thing about that. The key is, can we take something from this realm and take it back to that realm to help us overcome ourselves when we're in that realm? Does this make sense as well?
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. I mean, this is my response to this chapter is exactly what you're saying, is that it's been a while since I read this, and I don't remember it being so rich and so potent as what it is, obviously, this time around. But also, it's my response to it. It feels to me like this, right now, reading this chapter, it feels to me that it requires me to do some practice.
Correct.
To take some of these elements that are so clear, I mean, at least in our classes, let's say, like you're saying, they're so clear, you know, the importance of these elements and processes. And then the issue is, like, can I do anything with that? What am I doing with it?
Okay. So people are having interesting experiences. They're suddenly finding themselves like in the awakened state. They're finding themselves immersed in the essential self. Suddenly they're there. Wasn't quite sure how they got there, but they got there, okay? Other people are starting to have startling insights into it, and they can see the in a certain way, I want to say the frankness of mechanicality of the machine,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't want to say it's frightening, but it is in a certain way, because that mechanicality works on its own. The historical personality is very powerful, very powerful. And our work is the work of powers and principalities. And what our job is to let's say, to put ourselves in a position whereby eventually we are a host for something else, okay? Where our essential self is broad enough where we can do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ivan, why don't you read the header again, because
again?
The header is just a remarkable beginning to this.
Chapter 9, Activating the Astral Body. If the organic, biological machine and its moving center manifestations can be made passive, higher substances can be driven upward by the resulting negative force, and the astral body can be automatically activated.
Okay, so it's automatically activated. So, and if you ever have a chance to go on the website wingsofchaos.com, chapter 9 on the hidden work, and take a look at, there's a couple of postings there. I strongly advise you to read the summary done by Hawk Lady and Silverdale, and very interesting posting by Jim H., and I'm not sure if he's on tonight, but very interesting about self-observation. So look at what that header just says. It just says that the organic body, right? and it's moving centrum. It's all that's being put before us right now. The moving centrum. He's not, though he does extensively talk about it during the chapter, that's not being posed, in a sense, as the task before us. In a certain way, it's like the simple gate to the key to the kingdom is before us. And it says here, if the organic biological machine and its moving centrum manifestations can be made passive. We have two examples of people that have nervous twitches such that, and these are both men that have mustaches, they couldn't keep their hands off the mustache. Now, that's an example of the machine just starting to move with unwarranted reason, right? It's like a twitch. And so you can see this, and it just happens. And the key then is to watch that but not change it. And you place your attention on it in a certain way, very gently. It's like you coat it with your attention, the attention of the essential self. You just coat it with that, so you're observing that particular manifestation, and you're going to see something. If you don't, the guilt will say, oh, I better stop this. But the sly man says, this is very interesting. Look at the machine mm-hmm. doing that. Mm-hmm. My goodness. So, and what you're going to see then, it's like it's connected. It's like a plant connected with roots down into all kinds of stuff, and it will be involved in the mental centrum and the emotional centrum as well. That one little physical movement. So where we left off last time was we had done that little exercise on page 79 and 80. We had done the exercise of relaxing the muscles of the moving centrum, like we've talked about many times, like relaxing the facial mask. And that's something you should work on doing during this particular class. Notice the movements that you're working with. Are they intentional, or are those movements just nervous energy that you just, it's like an automaton moving? So that's what we want to work with. We bring that to the beginning of the class, in a sense. And then he goes on to say, when performing manual labor to gain the will to awaken the machine, we should use only those muscles actually necessary to do the job. So, like you go, let's say you're going to lift a weight, you're working out and you're going to lift a weight. All that you need, let's say you're going to do a curl, so all you really need is that, and you, the muscles associated with that. You don't need the muscles of your face going, oh, right?
Right.
What are those, why do those muscles come to play? Because there's emotional, mental, all kinds of stuff involved in it. But if you can focus and you just notice those muscles involved, first of all, you're a lot more effective. Because your energy then is just in intentionality, not in this mechanicality. And what we're trying to do is pacify this moving centrum and the emotional centrum and the mental centrum, and as it begins to become more pacified, then automatically there's an activation of the essential self. What actually occurs is that the will of the machine gets out of the way, and the essential self can then come forth. Okay? And, there's a lot of discussion about just the involuntary reflexive parts. So the exercise, and this is what I want to start building up for maybe next week, where next week is going to be more practicum, where I may be asking several people to call in and discuss something. The key here is that it's got to be very, very small things. Very small, like some, just a couple of people, one person, you know, about the mustache. It's very small, right? Doesn't seem like insignificant. Not even big enough to talk about, right? Well, you pull that weed up, you're going to find huge roots going every which way. So find for yourself a physical mechanicality that you notice. The big key is don't change it, but observe it. Read what Jim H. posted from, what is it, Red Hawk?
Red Hawk.
Red Hawks. And you'll see that's almost precisely what I mean in terms of how to use your attention. You use your attention just as a fine brush placed on it. And then you begin to see the structure of all that's going on about it. So make an effort to come out with one small physical mechanicality. I'm not going to ask you to do mental centrum or emotional centrum things yet. Maybe we'll do that at another time. But just can you think of a physical twitch of some sort? Maybe like maybe it's the way you talk on the phone. Maybe it's the way you eat your meal. Maybe it's the way that you open your car door or when you sit in traffic. I don't know what it is. That's your job. But focus on one that's discernible and then you share it. And the reason you share it is because then others can see. We are starting on very small things here. We're not trying to theoretically work on the physical mechanicality of the machine. We already understand the theory there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at one
like that, yeah.
Do you do this or do you, you know, I had a friend that every time he'd have a particular idea, he'd go like this, you know. And it was very strange to watch. And if you're watching from a certain point of view, it always looks unusual. But you just observe it. The key, this is not Catholic school. This is not judgment. It's not at all. It's discovery. And when you discover these things, it's actually exciting. You know, Spinoza said 450 years ago, he said, when he was writing to his friend, he wrote a letter and he says, from time to time I come upon another infirmity. And he says he has joy in that. Because then he can help work to clarify that in himself. So anyway, so that's okay. I'm going to go back up to page 81, the second full paragraph. The worst form of negative manifestation is in the mental. Human beings are enamored with their own thoughts. Now, watching mental mechanicality is very difficult. And the reason is because we are so identified with our own thoughts. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. That's me thinking. Okay? I'm the guy that's thinking that. So, like I've said before, I go to a particular thing, I sit quietly for a little while, and I notice that I kind of sit kind of erect when I'm in there. Not, you know, like military erect, but just gently erect. my feet in a certain way. And I'm doing that for a little while, and then I notice suddenly that I lean forward, and I'll put my arms on my thighs. I'll lean forward. My head goes down. And when that occurs, a particular kind of worry thought starts up. And then I experiment with it.
So that's a habit.
It's a mental habit that is the physical posture encapsulates that mental chatter. So the body just went forward, and so I went back and I relaxed. I got back in that posture. Then I just took the body and I moved it forward like that, and there it was again. So that's a form of mental mechanicality that worked in me. But it's like I didn't want to admit that it was mechanical, because that was me thinking, right? Those are my thoughts. And they were important. Human beings are enamored with their own thoughts and with the compulsive expression of those thoughts, which by one accident or another they have identified with their imaginary personality. Jumping ahead, it should be sufficient just to indicate the rough centrum of gravity of the idea of producing alchemical substances in the machine. It is then up to us to dig deeper. It is then up to us to dig deeper. It's not going to be in a book, because we're at a level now of this kind of work where you have to decide the next point for yourself. You have to understand that. Now, to discover for ourselves exactly how to apply this idea in a practical way for your personal work, when you're able to see a particular mechanicality, either a physical manifestation or a mental manifestation of mechanicality, and you can begin to voluntarize it, it frees up a space so that therefore the essential self, and there's an activation then at that moment of the astral body. That's how it happens. If the machine is made passive, and I know that Harry had this question on the website, the machine is made passive, by which I mean it is not mechanical, but it may still operate. It is operating, but you voluntarize that. So when that occurs, the machine becomes passive, then the essential self can come out and begin to manifest, and it stretches. It only has two tools, which is presence and attention. But its attention cannot come forth over the chatter of a mechanicality of the machine. Okay? So I'm actually asking the question is, can you unravel some such small mechanicality that you can maybe share with the group? We won't get into the emotional mechanicality yet, because that's even more dear to us than our mental centrum. We're kind of slightly willing to acknowledge that our physical maybe can be mechanical, but we're reluctant to recognize that our mental chatter is mechanicality, and certainly my emotions are because they're really important. I mean, that's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But and then there's this concept of these substances. There is a truth to that. It's building up an alchemical substance when you can voluntarize the machine, when the machine is passive, this other substance begins to grow. Then something else is possible. The whole exact science of extracting substances and transforming them to higher substances, which can fuel our invocations of the Absolute, is available whenever we find ourselves in a position to really work. Now, by which I mean, to really work, by which I mean, not as we first arrive in the financial, mental, emotional, philosophic distress, but able to help ourselves and at the same time help the teacher in the work. And so, or to help our group here. There are ways of producing great amounts of substance, but we must use the forces in quite a different way. We must be willing to give up our ordinary, organic manifestations and ideas completely, at least for a certain time, under definite direction. It could take many years to accomplish this. We must somehow buy time for our work. And the next several paragraphs is a conversation about actually buying time for one's work. Like some people are in a position where maybe they're retired, they don't need to work anymore, they have funds that were either given to them, they don't need to be, you know, workaday Johnnies in a sense. In a certain way, if we went around the group, we'll find that most of us here are not traditional employees as such. Some are, but many are kind of like in this weird in-between place, you know, neither here nor there. That gives us time for our work. This is not a hobby that you work on, you know, if you kind of get around to it. This can become a life work. It can become our life work. We were talking over dinner about people that, like the Japanese, how they penetrate certain art forms like origami and sushi making, calligraphy, you know, a number of things like this that we've heard about, tea making, flower arranging, where this is, that they fully penetrate it. That's what I'm talking about here, that it's not a hobby, but it's part of our life work. This chapter starts to set out the practicum for that. Would you say that that's the case, Ivan?
Yeah, it seems very clear to me, much more clear than it did some years ago.
Yeah,
when reading it. I think the quality that I have been responding to is that it's, I wonder if other people feel this, how compelling it is. It feels to me like, you know, this chapter seems to be saying to me, it's like, well, if you've made this choice, you know, if this is the choice that you made, which is to say, you know, not to devote your life to aggrandizing yourself or to being materially successful or to having celebrity of some kind or something, and this is what we've chosen to do in life, then it's, why not get on with it? What's the practice? Let's do it.
Why not get on with it?
Every day. Well, let's do it. Wake up in the morning and do it today.
Yeah.
Get
Anything?
Started.
Wait,
life work, literally a job.
Yeah, that this, so Mark said, and I'm saying this partly to get it on the recording, Jana is saying that Mark indicated that our life work is our job, right? Is that what you just said?
Uh-huh.
And then what did Pianjo say?
May
the days of all our monkeys be numbered.
Be numbered. Very nicely put. Beautifully put. Hawk Lady, well, wait a minute, let's get it on the tape. Hawk Lady said, that it's a veil. It's a veil that comes off from her face and reveals a beauty that she had not seen before, right?
Yes, yeah, see, I can relate very strongly to that with that passage that David read, only part of it, about the subjectivity of art. You see, to be a subjective artist is to express this kind of express a self that's illusory. He's saying it's like a false personality. But what is it that could be expressed or accessed that's beyond that illusion? Something very, very vast, very powerful, beautiful. You know, how does that manifest?
The way it manifests is we work to pacify the mechanicality of the machine. When that occurs, we wind up in this space. And this space is complete in itself. We're not bored by being here. It's interesting. It's like filled with potentiality. And once you begin to sense that, and you don't believe that it's just kind of an accident because I went to that class, but it's something that you can do in your life, and you can get into that state that Hawk Lady is talking about, this beauty undiscovered before, then that's when the compelling part comes, Ivan. You're compelled because you say, I want to be here more. Anything else? So Hawk Lady is saying, so the people that share like that, what's that?
Small habits. We're talking about our...
Who says that? Angel. Wanders without what? Without wonder. That's mechanicality. By definition it is. And Hawk Lady says, you know, that she snaps or she cracks her knuckles, mm-hmm. something like that. Those people that reveal that, let me tell you the benefit that they get by taking that courageous stand. You think, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's cute. No, because that person, in a sense, is putting the machine on notice. It's putting the machine on notice. And it's no small thing to do. I twirl this mustache. I walk unconsciously. I crack the knuckle. Those people are not just saying, oh, here's a little habit that you guys can look at. What they're saying to their machine is they're saying, I'm putting you on notice. The attention of the essential self, has now noticed this. And the machine is on notice that there's a new sheriff in town. Okay? There's a new sheriff in town. Is any other comments or
maybe it's a Texas Ranger.
What?
The Sheriff of Observation.
Yes. Nice. Excellent. Before the end of the class, I'm going to come back to Susan's comment because it's very important. So also in this, we recognize that, well, how do we know when there's something going on? And if you read it carefully, you'll see that one of the easiest ways to know is if you feel a certain kind of unusual musculature, like a tension in your musculature. right? Like you see your, you know, you're starting to feel like your neck is, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Or you see your face all tensed up, worried, you're nervous, and you feel it in your chest. How do you work with that? Relax, literally. Work on relaxing those physical manifestations. Okay? Those are clues. Look at all the clues that we have from this chapter. Because once you can do that, it begins to release. And it's, what's the name of the chapter again?
Activating the astral body.
Activating the astral body. So when the machine is made passive by these individual efforts, not by the efforts that others make or that others say about you, but by your own individual efforts. Okay? We should allow two, well, I'm going to skip that.
Now.
I'm back on 83, yeah. I'm jumping to 83. Because there is a whole discussion on livelihood.
I think we can pass over that. I mean, it's a very significant point. And I like this analogy. I don't think you find this very often in EJ's writings, this medical school analogy, but this is,
mm-hmm.
that's very real to me. It's sort of like, well, yeah, I never went to medical school, but this is like medical school. I mean, we're
it
at
is.
A graduate level here. We're at this is like
that's correct.
The operating theater. You know, this is now all right, already like we're getting the brain surgery demonstration. You know, we're at an advanced.
I don't think we have any PhDs. Do we have anybody here?
We have some in the community.
We have some in the community, but
yeah.
Not right here at the moment. But to become a PhD. You focus on a particular field. Let's say it's 17th century Dutch history.
Good one.
Okay? So I think it's actually a very good one. But let's say that that's your focus. And you become kind of an expert at what happened during that 100, that remarkable 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right? And, you know, you read for years on that. But your PhD paper is what is your contribution to the field. What is your unique contribution? That's where we are now. In a certain way, Hawk Lady and Pianjo and others have taken the step and said, here's my PhD paper. That's the level we're at. Even though you say, oh, yeah, that's really funny, she cracks her knuckle. The fact that that the being had enough presence to speak that, okay, that's a lot. I mean, at some point, we can have a discussion on livelihood, but I think I'd like to skip over that for the moment, okay, and just proceed to page 84, the second paragraph. And it's very interesting what EJ says here. For some, it is possible to retrieve the results of your own past efforts, but to gamble with counterfeit currency could cost us our life. Some pay. Now listen here. Pay with voluntary emotional, some with physical, some mental, some pay with all three types of currency. It is up to us to find out how to pay. So he's implying in this paragraph, if you guys think I have it right, he's implying that paying means to voluntarize. How do you voluntarize? Because it arises from your attention. Work with your attention. So it's called I pay attention. So it's harder to capture the emotional mechanicality states, but they're there. They're totally there. And you can begin to see their signature if you're willing to look a little bit. The mental ones and then the physical ones, of course, are easier because you can physically identify them. So if you voluntarize those, what would it mean to voluntarize an emotional state? We've talked a lot about the mechanical, that emotional states generally in the sleeping machine are just reactive. You see a pretty picture of a little baby and you just go, oh, how sweet. And, you know, stuff happens, you light up and just like this, right? But, or you're watching the big game and your team wins. Or your team passes a football and makes a touchdown, and you go, and you leap up, right? These are emotional reactivity. But no one's saying to not do that, but what would it be like to voluntarize something emotionally? And part of the key is going to be in what Susan said, which we'll come to before the end. First, we should develop just one higher body, and when we talk seriously about developing additional higher bodies, we'll talk about that later, and there's other books and things like that. And then jumping ahead, they can be forgiven. We're not talking about becoming slaves here, remaining slaves, but to become a master on page 85, we must understand the function of the carriage and its mechanical needs and know the horse from the inside out. Also, we must understand the driver and his needs. Strive to study. So here we are, and we can become the new master of the carriage. We can become the driver of it. But that means to begin the process of voluntarizing some of these things and not making them just mechanical. Okay. One could be a good general only if one has experienced subjectively and completely the life of a private. So that's what we're doing now. We're working through that level. We're working through the troops. We're pounding it out.
The trenches.
We're working through the trench. We're in the trenches, but we are that trench, and we have a workability before us. To study our lower nature could easily require many thousands or even hundreds of thousands of years, yet life is so short. How can we manage to overcome this quandary? Fortunately, we happen to have hundreds of thousands of years, and that's called the magic of recurrence and the eternal return, which we talked about, I think it was in a previous chapter. And then jumping ahead to 86, without the genetic tampering, no human beings would have had the opportunity for evolution in any way, shape, or form, and so they have at least something, disregarding the fact that it was entirely accidental and unforeseen, to be thankful for. A human being, as ordinarily found in the natural habitat, that is to say, the organic biological world, could be said to operate something like a pump, much like the kind of pump which forces liquid gases through pipes or pushes and pulls them upward against the force of gravity, except that a human being operates as a pump, which happens for reasons best known to mathematicians. His higher mental equation is manifested as this world of ours to be necessary for the passage of higher, finer matter into the organic world as it descends from the solar absolute. So if we can begin to voluntarize, we change the direction of the pump. Mm-hmm. And if we can change the direction of the pump, we begin to become possible for us for the solar absolute to begin the descension. And that's like a whole other level. But Some people are already experiencing that, but then they say, oh, accidentally that occurred. Oh, accidentally, yeah, that happened. It wasn't accidental because of years of work that it happened. And I think that at some point we need to also recognize the and own the angelic nature that we've begun to develop. We need to begin to own that. You never can stop working on the mechanicality of the machine. It's a lifetime project. But at the same time, at some point, we want to begin to recognize and own the fact that we have made progress, that we are an essential self. Jumping ahead, should we wish to cross over Jordan, so to speak, from the mainstream river of ordinary organic life to the other river, which we call the work? We can simply reverse the ordinary downward function of the pump. This means that when we have developed the will to awaken the machine and can awaken it at will, we can use the awakened machine to draw our lower forms of matter upward from the biological world, transforming this matter into an independently arising concentration, then directing it into a conscious return back toward its place of origin, the solar absolute. At this point, when we begin to voluntarize the physical and the emotional and the mental, we can learn to surprise ourselves, okay? We're going to be surprised by the thoughts we have. We're going to be surprised by the movements we have. They're different, they're graceful, they change. We can surprise ourselves because we have the ability to voluntarize. And then we'll surprise ourselves with the creativity we have in our mental centrums and the new and powerful emotions we have in the emotional centrum. So be ready to surprise yourself, because as we begin to walk into that world and activate the astral body, it's surprising. We surprise ourselves. Okay, and then jumping ahead to 88, at least some part of our effort to prepare for the work is to discover how to do. We do not wish to feed our desire merely to collect ideas to think about. Our mental centrum already is overworked. We must learn to dig for the whole thing. The thing that's going to be hard for, there's two things that are going to be hard for us, okay? We're going to kind of stop at that point in the reading. It's going to be hard. One is that the method of doing these things, the how to do, are very small things, very small. If you can capture those very small things, you have a thread to begin to pull and to unravel something quite great. So that'll stop you. You're going to go, oh, gosh, I've got to overcome the machine. I'm going to find, like, my chronic. That's what it is. I'll overcome my chronic. Okay? That'll do it. Or I'm going to overcome the imprint that my mother left on my brain here. That's what'll do it. It's not what's being said here. It's being said, take one small physical mechanicality and observe it. Take your attention and watch its mechanicality and then maybe to begin that concept of voluntarizing it. And you'll see that there's a whole world behind it. So the idea here, so that's the first thing, it's too small. You know, I'm not going to focus on it. It's just too small. I need something really big. I can hit a Grand Slam home run.
Biological machine, but I know that EJ's advice in this regard is that, you know, the kind of easy things to tackle first or would be like quitting smoking, you know, quitting a habit, you know, a long habit of smoking, controlling your anger, you know, altering your relationship habits or something like that. A very difficult, more advanced and very difficult thing to do would be to observe and voluntarize a twitch,
correct,
like a very small physical tick or something that you've had since childhood, because this is very, very habitual. I think that, anyway.
These are huge.
It's more ingrained than something like a, you know, your behavior pattern.
Did anybody else write anything down? Okay. Ah, okay. Simon asks, where is adoration in this exercise? Good question. Adoration, okay, let me ask Simon back this question. What's the exercise? How do you perceive the exercise? What is the exercise for you? Let's just take Hawk Lady, and she says, I crack the knuckle, right? She does that. So it grew from something to do that. Like she's offloading a particular kind of energy when she's doing that. So the compassion is not to, so you don't stop it. That's like a guilt thing. Oh, I better stop that now that I even told these people. If they see me doing it, then they know I'm mechanical. We already know you're mechanical. Okay, too late. The question is, so let's say that she watches that occur. So the compassion, Simon, would be the compassion for the machine that it, that's the habit that it chose to do something. Pulling the mustache. Let's say you just do that. So you play, you just say, the machine decided to do that. The machine decided to have anger when this occurred, or it had depression when that occurred. So the first step is not to change it, but to observe it. And in that observation, which is from the essential self, we bring the flavoring of compassion.
As adoration.
And adoration to that small focal point that we have selected for ourselves. And it's that small focal point that where we have all of the power, in a sense, to do something with it. So you pick one sliver, one thread, and you pull on it. Anything else?
David,
we'll have to pick that up later.
That's read on the log.
Yeah.
I was going to say that another answer to the question about adoration would be that the you know, machine or personality emotions would be something like enthusiasm, you know, excitement, frustration, irritation, ecstatic happiness or whatever. But adoration, it seems to me, would be a voluntary emotion.
Correct.
This is adoration, is this state that you summon up, that I summon up from my self-observation, that I, it's an essence emotion, a higher emotion. And compassion, David was linking it with compassion. Say, I'm going to watch myself with these habits, and I'm not going to be judging myself or scolding myself, but I could invoke a feeling of compassion
for the
character who has those habits.
Correct, for that character, yeah. And learned it. That's the best it could do at the time it did it. And it thought that's the best it had, so it took that on. And I say, then there's another approach to it. But we don't judge it at that point. We have a certain adoration. We thank it in a sense. Thanks for doing what you could do at the time. But I'm moving on now. I'm going to a different town. I'm going to be somewhere else. But we're getting a little bit close to the end. I wanted to focus back, and I'm sure there are other comments to make or other questions, but I want to focus on the comment that Susan made way back when. And she said, thank you, I feel the love. Is that about correct, Jenna? Is that what you remember?
Yes, vaguely.
Okay. So think about that for a minute. And this is part of the issue that we're going to have, and I'll expand on it next week in the class too. Well, Ivan mechanically works to
turn his phone off, which
he cannot do. He's not able to do because he's trying to work to voluntarize it, of course. But in any event, something happened different. So Susan said, I feel the love. One of the things that's going to be the hardest for most people to acknowledge is the idea of opening up your heart to the energetics that you're beginning to feel as we go down the road here. It's the same thing. There's a mechanical reaction to it, and your heart will, you'll even feel these muscles right here will start to close up, they'll tighten. At that point, and I happen to know for a fact that Susan has worked on this particular thing, that if you can open up that, accept the fact and own the fact that you have developed some essential self which is at work and is activated. Part of your astral body is in fact activated at this point. That's why we have a pretty consistent invocation when we come to this class. Okay? It's not by accident that that occurs. It's not like, oh wow, that was cool. No, it's because we come and we work. We work to make that happen. So consider the idea of opening yourself up to, and it's a highly charged word, but I'm going to say it in public. Open yourself up to the love that could flow through, but in order to do that, you need to be different. And there's a certain form of, I call it celestial surrender, that occurs when you allow yourself to do that. When that occurs, that becomes more active. The astral body becomes more active. The essential self starts to take its position, and it starts to own its where it lives, starts to own that position. But then that means, like I've been saying, you're compelled. You start to become compelled to want to work and to need to work in that manner. The next few paragraphs, actually, I'll just that has to do with, like, when you discover one thing like this, it actually shows you the path to much deeper discovery. And there's a conversation about, you know, Howard Carter, and I also like Flinders Petrie is the same thing, the early Egyptologists, and what they discover one thing and they knew it would lead to something else. That's what we're doing here. And then we'll finish this chapter next week, but it's going to get more involved with this idea of opening yourself to this, okay? And it's going to be hard to open, and you do it by a relaxation of even those muscles, because when that starts to come and that starts to flow, there's actually a physical reaction to it rather than a gentle opening to it. So, also for next week, we'll spend about maybe another half hour on the chapter. The second half of the hour next time, if somebody would like to bring a particular issue forward, let's say someone says, I always bounce my leg when I'm waiting, my hand hits my other knee, stuff like that. And let's say you want to bring that up to the group so that the group maybe can comment on it. Now, the comments aren't, oh, gosh, you're really mechanical. It's the group mind starting to work, and then, as it says in the chapter, you borrow the energy from the group. You borrow the energy from the group to, in a sense, place it on that issue, whatever your issue might be. I encourage if somebody or a couple of people like to do that, they can email me. We can discuss it briefly by email. And then if you want, we can be on the phone. You can be on the phone, you call in. And then you can speak to the point as well. And by that, in other words, what I'm trying to say is, let's tap the group mind to help focus an attention on a particular mechanicality that somebody would like to bring forth. Make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. .com. So there's a little bit of homework this time. So we've been on this chapter for 2 weeks. We have another full week at it. That's how important this chapter is. We haven't had a three-week chapter yet.
No, but this chapter is worth it, absolutely.
This chapter, it's critical to the next level of work that we're doing. That's why there's so much to dig here.
Are you asking people to post anything as well?
I'd like people to post any comments or thoughts they have on the chapter or the meeting. But if it's a particular personal thing, you're welcome to post it if you'd like and to tell a backstory, and I know that Harry's done that. Or you can just send me an email about it, and then we can discuss whether or not you want to do it. Other people have said they have questions that they'd like to bring before the group. And in a certain way, it just starts kind of like someone said to me, gosh, I just feel lost. Well, if that's spoken in this context with a group, something happens. There's a fruition, a particular type of food that occurs for the entire group when someone, in a sense, confesses that or something at that level. It gives an opportunity for something else to occur. Okay.
All right.
Anything else, Jenna? I know, but is there anything else we need? Let the circle be unbroken. Thank you. Beautiful. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. We'll call it a wrap then at this point, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, same place.
Same time.
Everything's the same, and there you have it.
It's impossible to escape.
Good night.
Good night.